coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It is Tuesday, March 14th, 2023. I don't know how many people saw that four-minute press conference. When was it? Yesterday, I guess it was, of Biden saying, hey, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. And then him walking out the door without taking any questions concerning the bank bailouts. And it was just to watch him. If anyone has any doubt whatsoever that this election was stolen, that we have a virtual, well, certainly a geriatric, but I would even say, go as far as saying a hobbit. I can't think of another word for that in the White House. Well, you know, if he's even in the White House, you're fooling yourself. A couple of notes here. The Treasury Department will allow members of the House Oversight and Government Accountability Committee to review the SARS reports, the suspicious activity reports of the Biden bank records. And this is going to tell a big story. I'm going to tell you right now. Whether or not anything happens, that remains to be seen. But the fact of the matter is, they're going to get a chance to see the SARS reports. Now, the SARS reports in and of themselves, they give basic information. But as anything else, you have to put additional investigation into it and follow the money and see, connect the dots to see how much China Joe got, okay? And people are talking today about RFK dropping the mother of all bombshells, that being that Fauci's, has developed bioweapons for the Pentagon since 2002. Well, anyone who's followed RFK Jr., Children's Defense Network, or read Fauci's book, read RFK Jr.'s book, knows that to be the case. And it's pretty interesting. So there's that. Also, I was on with Alex Jones yesterday, along with Pete Santilli, followed by Gerald Celendi. So it was a good show, folks. If you get a chance, go to band.video. That's band, B-A-N-N. Well, go to Hagman Report or HagmanPI.com, HagmanPI.com, and you'll see. There it is, right there. There it is. If you're watching this, if you're listening to this, you can go to HagmanPI.com and find your way. There it is on the screen.
You're a lot bigger than Alex.
Yeah, that's why I selected that image, because, you know, I wanted to appear large and insure. No, you know what? It just popped up that way. So anyway, however, because of they're banned everywhere, so I couldn't even link. I had to manually put a link below that image to the program. So you can. There it is, right there. Click on that to watch the segment. And Pete Santilli said some great things, and he was right on the money. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about that in length or in depth today, along with some other things that I think are extremely important. We cannot forget what happened on January 6th. Many people already have. Many people have people misrepresent what happened, and others believe it. No, five officers did not die on January 6, 2021. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Okay, so, but believe me, civilians died. Again, we were talking about that. But before we do, something a little bit on the lighter scale. This could have been, you know, back in my day when I attended school, okay, which, you know, they had one-room schoolhouses, right? And I had to stoke the fire. No, I'm kidding. But back in my day when I went to school, I'm going to say this. I went to a Catholic elementary school. So in first grade, the sisters would come up and make you sit with your hands folded on the desk and stand up and sit down. And anyone who's my age and went to a Catholic school, you know what I'm talking about. And then get up and I was an altar boy for the 7 o'clock Mass, you know, 7 a.m. Mass and stuff like that. So, however, people don't appreciate, really, what it was like back then in terms of discipline. Apparently, somebody's got, somebody took a video, I don't even know who to credit on this, someone took a video of instance of discipline. And this happened in either high school or junior high. And this is a girl, apparently, who would not get out of her seat. And this is what happened. Watch this. Well, okay, that's a law enforcement officer there. I don't know what that person did. What that student did to warrant that, but to me, that, you know, people are...
You got some bad flashbacks.
I did, because that, to me, that's like a normal Tuesday. But I guess on social media...
I still
media,
do that to you.
You do. Yeah, I've got the bruises to prove it, and he hits me in places where you folks can't see, so he's smart about that. But anyway, again, that's just a normal Tuesday. It used to be a normal Tuesday for me with the nuns. Come on.
The best is when I hit you with Hunter Biden's hard drive.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's like a little brick.
Put that thing in a sock.
Hunter Biden's hard drive right here. Here you go. All right. With me is my special guest, Sam Andrews, Freedom Center. There's a link to the Freedom Center on HagmanPI.com. I want you to go there. He's an expert in many fields, many disciplines, military, and I'm going to say intelligence as well. The overlap is there. So he knows what he's talking about. We're going to be talking about January 6th. But before we do, do you mind playing just the first minute and a half, 90 seconds of Pete Santilli talking about, and this is from yesterday, from InfoWars, talking about January 6th and the facial recognition. Thank you. Here it is. No, I didn't forget. I was just trying to frame this up in my mind the best way. Go ahead.
Here's the most important part. I have been kind of quiet about it in the public because I was hoping it would flesh out in the Proud Boys trial in the courtroom. There are whistleblowers internally that Tucker had indicated there was facial recognition of the individuals at that frontline breach, that first breach where the barricades were, where the guy Ryan Samsel with the red hat was and Ray Epps was whispering in his ear. They have internal whistleblowers who are they're prohibited from volunteering this information, but if called to testify, would certainly do that. They found that the majority of the people at that first breach were feds. In fact, it was a difficult time finding people to prosecute. The majority of them, I will state. Now, that will have to be stated by those whistleblowers if called to testify. But in most cases, the judges, and this has been the pushback, the attorneys say that the judge will shut it down because they're on a fishing expedition. This evidence exists. Tucker Carlson admitted to that last week. There is plenty of evidence of all of these federal agents, quite a few of them. Why can't we see it? Because it might reveal that they were the ones that were, in fact, breaking the law and provocateuring and causing people to do things they normally wouldn't do. You know.
All right. So there it is. You heard it. If you watched InfoWars yesterday, you heard and watched and saw Pete Santilli. I was on with him for a little while, or he stayed on with me for a while, and we talked about January 6th. But with me to talk more about it and from a different perspective is Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. Sam, how are you, sir?
Excellent, Doug. Good to be with you.
It's good to be with you as well. Appreciate you joining me. I know you have a lot of stuff going on. I don't want to take up too much. Well, you know what? I want you to stick with me the entire time here. Let's talk about January 6th, where we're at. What, you know, it angers me that due process has not been followed, that the Constitution has been shredded. We have people still in prison in the D.C. gulags. They've been mistreated purposely, deliberately. There's a lot of yelling about what's going on, but no one's doing a damn thing about it. Seriously, do I have to go up there with a flipping Nerf gun and break in? And get them out? I don't know. I mean, it hacks me off a little bit. Notice I said Nerf gun, okay? Don't save the emails. And the FBI can pound sand. Sam, what do you say about all this?
Well, there's probably five or six different things that are extremely disturbing about January 6th. One is the whole entrapment provocateur scheme that was actually run by the SAC from Michigan. I don't know if you remember the Whitmer op.
Oh, absolutely. And but yes,
the special agent in charge there was transferred to Washington, D.C. Yep. And he's the architect of the January 6th provocateur operations. And what nobody's talked about is the fact that Department of Homeland Security had federal agents there as well. It wasn't just FBI agents involved.
Right.
There were national mission team assets there. There was DHS there. There was FBI there. And they weren't performing law enforcement functions. Let's be really clear about that. They're involved in a provocateur operation. And the problem with that sort of thing, as it relates to January 6th, is pretty clear. If you withhold exculpatory evidence, you've not only committed a Brady violation, you've not only abused the process, you've not only thwarted anything remotely close to due process, but you've actually committed a felony under Title 18, 241. Title 18, Code 241, it's conspiracy to deprive rights or to deny rights. And if Eric could throw 241 up there and let people read it for 5 seconds, it might be an interesting thing to see. The bottom line is Title 18, 241 is punishable by up to 10 years in prison. This is a felony. And when you look at the totality of what the FBI did, what the Department of Homeland Security did, what these crooked congressmen did in the J6 committee, they denied these defendants exculpatory evidence, and they conspired to do that. And this is deprivation of rights, denial of rights through conspiracy. And so when you look at the number of people that they denied rights and violated this federal law, if a judge were to find them properly guilty and they were to serve their sentences concurrently, every one of these FBI people, every one of these DHS people, every one of these congressmen and their aides that worked to hide this evidence so that they could unjustly imprison people and deny them their rights, every one of them would be in prison for life.
And there you have it. Yeah. 18 USC.
Yeah.
Section 241.
That's it. If you scroll down, if two or more persons, you know, is basically a conspiracy, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah. You know, and you look at this and scroll down just a little further and you can see, or maybe sentenced to death. There's your penalty there, right? If certain things happen under this denial of rights, the people that are found guilty can be sentenced to death. Why is Tucker Carlson not talking about this? Why isn't Fox News talking about this? Why isn't anyone else in the media talking about the obvious federal law on the books that all of these people involved with the January 6th cover-up, all of the crimes they committed?
You know, okay, again, yesterday during my time with Alex and Pete Santilli preceded me. Watch the entire episode, folks. That was discussed. That wasn't discussed, but the trial of Dominic Pizzola, one of the Proud Boys, ostensibly one of the Proud Boys, was discussed. Okay, and there was an issue where Brady material was kept from him. There was an issue currently, the trial's going on right now, where the FBI destroyed some communications, and the judge overseeing this paused, almost looked like he might do the right thing, but then said, nah, never mind, forget about it. And it's...
Oh, my.
So even in the at the trial level, we are not getting our redress. And I'm going to tell you something. This creates an extremely dangerous situation for the American public, because when you are denied due process, when you are denied the right to speak, when you are denied every liberty under the Constitution, then damn it, we better do something right now, or else there will be a hell of a lot of bloodshed. And a lot of it will be ours, granted. But I'll tell you what, we better do something. I'm not sitting back and letting my kids and my grandkids inherit this. This is a bunch of crap. And yes, under Section 18, Section USC 241, Section 241, denial under the color of authority, or I'm sorry, conspiracy against rights?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so...
This evidence and this Brady material didn't just disappear on its own.
No, no.
There was a conspiracy to deny every January 6th defendant exculpatory evidence. And Nancy Pelosi's involved, FBI agents are involved, DHS agents are involved. This whole thing is disgusting. It's un-American. And it proves what I've been saying for the last 10 years, is that our republic is gone. It's been taken from us. There is no due process. There's no justice in the courts. Everything is controlled from on high. There are two classes. There is the protected class, to which our laws do not apply to, things like denying other people rights. This type of thing is absolutely criminal, and it needs to stop, and the American people need to wake up and make it stop. And I don't think there's enough people awake right now. I think there's so many people have been anesthetized and brainwashed that I don't think it's bad enough to wake enough people up to fix this problem.
You know what? I don't think people are inclined to wake up. I don't think they've got the balls or whatever to wake up. They don't want to wake up, in my view. If you're not awake by now, if the lockdowns didn't wake you up, if the bank, essentially the nationalization, folks understand, our every bank in the country has just been nationalized. All right, like. Oh, I don't know. Pick a communist country or a socialist country. Nationalized. Think about Canada. I mean, it's with these bailouts or bail-ins or whatever you want to call them, using our tax money. Where do you think this money is coming from? So you know what, Sam? It angers me when I look at this. And here's the other thing that I want to mention very quickly. I mentioned this yesterday, both on this show as well as with Alex. I'm going to mention it to you as well. There was an article in the Conservative Treehouse, and I referenced them often. I referenced this article here because this strikes to me to the big picture. All right. Why, for example, did the feds, did the army of Pelosi, Schumer, Pence, McConnell, you know, why did they, for example, create the Fedsurrection? And the answer is quite simple. I was very impressed by this by this article. Again, this is at theconservativetreehouse.com. This analysis, which I think was published on Sunday or Monday, you can get it from yesterday's show notes. But here's the thing. How do you prevent Congress from delaying a certification of state electoral votes? Because that was the intent of delaying the congressional, delaying the certification of state electoral votes. I was getting ahead of myself here. That was the intent. And people were there to make sure that the representatives were going to make motions to delay the certification while fraud was being investigated. Really a simple thing. Well, what would stop that? What would prevent Congress from doing that? Really simple. It requires a crisis, and a crisis that creates an emergency that invokes special House rules. And so this, to me, 18 U.S.C. Section 241, you talk about a conspiracy. There had to be a conspiracy because when they reconvened, well, again, I got ahead of myself. About 3 minutes before they broke because and escorted Pelosi and the head people out of the Congress. About 3 minutes, somebody whispered in Pelosi's ear, and they escorted the reps out, and for their own safety because their chambers were about to be breached, right? Which never happened, or at least not at that moment. But the Capitol Police, other agents, informed Pelosi, and of course, everything was stopped, halted. They were escorted from the chamber. That effectively halted the entire chamber process. And why was that necessary? It was created to eliminate the motion challenges to halt the certification and to begin voting to look, halt the certification and to begin voting to look into the irregularities and fraud. In other words, they did not want that to be looked into. So two motions were completely legal and constitutional under at least two constitutionally recognized procedures that would require the House to pause the certification and then vote to determine whether the motions to suspend could move forward. So they couldn't have that. So in order to stop that, and you can't stop something like this, with, hey, gee whiz, we don't feel good, so we're going to just pause this, or we have other committee business. No, this takes precedence over everything. So they had to have an emergency significant enough to stop the process. It was stopped. When they reconvened, all of a sudden, no motions were considered because they reconvened at one in the morning, two or three in the morning. So the reason I don't want to take your time, but I wanted to drive that point home because people, in addition to what you're talking about, people are missing the bigger picture, which was mission accomplished at this point. And our rights were stolen by Pence, by Pelosi, by Schumer, by McConnell, by the people in the House and Senate chambers, both. They were stolen from us. In addition, what we saw outside, as you mentioned, was coordinated by the very same people who wanted this mission to be accomplished. So go ahead and continue, and I'm going to shut up now.
Well, a number of plans and techniques were used by federal agents to create this emergency. And I've told the story about approaching the west side of the Capitol and coming up to the fence there about 20 minutes to one, I believe, about 20 minutes before the big crowd got out of hand. It was interesting. I said to the lone Capitol police officer there in the northwest corner over by the fence in the street, I said, how come you only have 9 officers out here? There's about to be 250,000 pissed off Trump Jesus people here, and you only have 9 men on the west side of the Capitol? That's not enough men. You need to get more people out here. And he laughed. He said, we deal with protests every day in Washington, D.C. You need to let the professionals handle it. And he said that with such extraordinary confidence that I got chills went up my spine. I literally thought, oh, my God, the fix is in. Something's going to happen.
So are you, do you believe this guy didn't know, or do you?
No, I believe he knew.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, I think he knew.
All right.
Yeah, there's no doubt he knew that something was going to go down. There was enough scuttlebutt going on between the Capitol Police and why the Republicans haven't subpoenaed the text messages of the Capitol policemen on that day. as they chit-chat about what's about to happen. It looks like a cover-up to me. I'm not sold that Jim Jordan is in this to win it. No. I'm going to be really honest with you.
No, there's a hell of a lot of bluster, but no perp walks. I'm going to tell you something. All right. No, go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, it's a dog and pony show. And so my guys went up. I said, you know, we need to leave this area. We need to go up on the north side by the towards the Supreme Court building. Let's go up there, get on a hill where we can get in an overwatch position and watch this shit show, because something's about to go down. And, you know, I had thoughts run through my head like some idiot is gonna do a false flag with an explosion, or something's going to happen, you know, that's really not good. And what we saw, once the crowd built over the next 15 minutes, there probably wasn't seven people in the parking lot when I had this conversation, maybe 20, just a handful of people spread out over a very large area. And then we moved up across the street over towards the Supreme Court building and just sat there and watched things unfold. And it was amazing to watch policemen pull gates back, wave people in. We could see some of the Antifa and federal provocateurs. We could see them at the front of the crowd yelling and screaming and trying to stir people up. I mean, the whole thing, you know, no person who was concerned about our democracy and free elections and fair elections, no normal person would have acted like these provocateurs. It was way over the top, and it was obviously designed to get people angry and get people to rush the Capitol. Now, what's even worse, we were on Constitution Avenue that whole morning. You know, up, we walked around the National Monument, you know, for the, you know, before the Trump presentation. And then when Trump started speaking, we got on Constitution Avenue and started walking towards the Capitol. And there was a young girl, Antifa, and two young men, and they had piercings and tattoos, dressed in black, but they had Trump hats on and they had Trump flags on their back like Superman capes. And they had closed Constitution Avenue to any vehicle traffic, I guess, because of the crowd and the protests. But if you've ever been on Constitution Avenue, you know the EPA building's there, the Smithsonian is there. And they had two Capitol policemen out in front of every building on Constitution Avenue as a show of force on both sides of the street. Now, as we're walking towards Constitution Avenue, we're around the Washington Monument. There's two guys 180 degrees apart orbiting the Washington Monument with megaphones yelling, "We're storming the Capitol at 1 p.m. Tell your friends. We're storming the Capitol at 1 p.m. Tell your friends." And this went on and on and on for over an hour. Then we walk over to Constitution Avenue where this little girl and her two Antifa friends are, and they're pulling a red wagon. It's got a 12-volt battery. She's got a megaphone in her mouth, in front of her mouth, and she is also walking up and down the yellow line on Constitution Avenue, yelling, "We're storming the Capitol at 1 p.m. Tell your friends. We're storming the Capitol at 1 p.m. Tell your friends." Now, if you count two policemen in front of every building between the Trump presentation and the west side of the Capitol, that's a lot of buildings.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of police officers.
Yeah.
And they marched up and down for almost 2.5 hours repeating this phrase with this 12-volt battery in this wagon. I took probably 7 pictures. I took 3 videos of them doing this. I replayed the video on my phone. I checked the pictures to make sure they took, because I thought this was significant evidence of a plan or a plot.
Well, gee, Sam, do you mind showing us right now the pictures?
Well, this is why I'm telling you that story. When we got back to the hotel in Virginia at about 6 p.m., 7 p.m., I checked my phone and all of that stuff had been deleted.
Wonder how that happened.
Isn't that amazing? Which begs the question, what tools did the feds have in that area to not only identify cell phones, but modify the data collected on those cell phones? That's the question I want answered, because that was my intellectual property. Those were my photographs and my videos. And I want the people that stole them from me to do jail time. They're denying me my right to observe and document and be part of the free press. And that is a First Amendment right. And now we're right back to Title 18, 241, conspiracy to deny rights.
There you go.
Now, what was even more amazing was we got back to the hotel and we had adjoining rooms, and I had everybody put on the TV a different news channel. Every single news channel, including Fox News, posted on the screen a written statement by the FBI saying they had no credible evidence that there was any plan to rush the Capitol. Now, if there's people walking up and down Constitution Avenue for the better part of 3.5 hours yelling, "We're storming the Capitol at 1 p.m. tell your friends," and there's police officers on both sides of the street within 30 feet of this megaphone, everyone in D.C. knew there was a plan to storm the Capitol at 1 p.m., yet the FBI outright lied in their written statement that was placed on the news that evening. And so the whole thing just smacked of a conspiracy to deny rights and a provocateur plan to create a situation. Now, were the Trumpsters dumb enough to fall in the trap? Yes, they were, because they made the protest all about Donald Trump. And that was a huge mistake. If they had made the protest about fair elections and not about Donald Trump, and we've got to get smarter about this. We've got to start making the argument about universal ideas, unifying concepts, not about people. When you make it about a person, you make it very tribalistic. People take sides. But when you make it about something like fair elections and honest elections, you're in a lot better position to defend what happens, good or bad.
And that speaks to my point too, Sam, about the mission accomplished part of things. Quoting from that same article I referenced earlier, it was important to remove the process of making sure those motions went forward to examine the voter integrity, which were ready to go, but never made it because of this, quote, emergency. And once an emergency is declared, new parliamentary rules apply. So, sadly, okay, that never made it to Congress. So, it was important to remove that process entirely and continue the fraud and certify the fraud with no detractors on a record. Why? Because that effectively gives no standing for a Supreme Court ruling appeal. And if those two motions that were prepared ahead of time, even if one of those had successfully been voted in, that gives those who presented them with standing for a constitutional legal argument before SCOTUS. So I just want to say that so people understand the bigger picture. All right, hold that thought, because you've got more, and I do want to get to this. I want to thank our supporters, and thank you very much, because you permit this platform to go forward, and also our corporate sponsors, of which we have just a few hand-selected, one of which is Honey, the fine folks at Honey. In fact, today's episode is sponsored by Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. My wife has this on her phone. She's got it on a number of different places. I know Eric the Tech does as well. And, you know, it's fun when you find and you're able to save money, find a deal, you're able to save money. But it's even better, I think, when you're surprised when Honey finds it for you. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds and applies it, it puts it right in your cart. Imagine you're shopping. This is how it works. Just imagine you're shopping one of your favorite sites, and when you're at checkout, Honey button appears, and all you have to do is click apply coupons, bada bing, bada bang, wait a few seconds, and Honey searches for the coupons you can find for that site. And if he finds a working coupon, you can watch the prices drop. We've saved money pretty much on a weekly basis for food delivery and other things. I often reference what we save. I would say during calendar year, last calendar year, we probably saved several hundred dollars. It makes that much of a difference. Our last savings occurred on, aside from the food, occurred on a studio purchase where we saved about just north of $70. So it's great. Did you know that Honey just does not work on desktops? And this is important. It works on your iPhone. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and save on the go. Here's what you need to do. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show as well. Get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hagman. This is important now. Listen to what I'm saying. joinhoney.com/Hagman. That's joinhoney.com/Hagman. joinhoney.com/Hagman. I thank them very much for their support of this broadcast, and they're a good company. They save a lot of money. Honey. All right. With me, of course, is Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. And folks, I want to just say this. You know, a lot of times we go through life with different afflictions, whether it's physical afflictions or stuff going on, coming at us at 100 miles an hour and, you know, get bulldozed over. Do me a favor. Sam will never speak about this, about all the challenges he's got. But please keep Sam Andrews in your prayers, because prayers work. I know that for a fact. And keep Sam Andrews in your prayers as he's going through a lot of stuff right now. And he needs our prayers. Enough said. All right. So pray for Sam. And I'm sure he'd appreciate it. So, Sam, continue with this, because this is amazing stuff. Why no one is touching this? Because I think this is the third rail that would expose the criminality of the swamp creatures. But again, you know more than I do at this point with respect to that. So go ahead.
Well, it's sort of the fox watching the hen house at this point. DOJ.
No pun intended, by the way.
Yeah, no pun intended. DOJ is corrupt as corrupt can be. And, you know, look at the way they delay investigations into Democrats and the aggression and speed in which they attack conservative constitutional Republicans. I mean, the disparity is stark and ongoing. The organization that is supposed to deal with this type of corruption is the Department of Justice. And they're not going to out themselves. They're not going to charge their own people with crimes, FBI agents or DHS agents. The Inspector General is even scared of these people because they're criminals. They're murderers. Look at what they did. Look at how the FBI conspired with big tech to suppress doctors that were telling the truth about therapeutics that would have saved people's lives. This type of denial of rights is the most serious of all, because it takes people's freedom away, and in some cases, it takes their life away from them. And the people have stood for this. I am stunned that there hasn't been a nationwide call to have these people resign. It's absolutely amazing. The corruption is overwhelming, and it's obvious, and hundreds of thousands of people have died because of this denial of rights. Take the former governor of New York. When he tried to outlaw ivermectin, how many people passed away because they didn't get that effective therapeutic? I mean, this type of thing is murder. It's murder one. It's not even a lesser murder charge. I mean, this is premeditated murder of American citizens. And it's punishable by death under Title 18. And we have lawyers, guys like Jim Jordan, who's the guy that used to be in the House from the Southeast. Trey Gowdy. I mean, there's a super skilled prosecutor. I don't know that guy ever lost a case. in his career. Why is he not on Fox News? He has his own show. Why is he not talking about Title 18, 241, and 242? I mean, the federal law applies to this situation in spades.
Yeah.
Why are the people not calling for this? And you know, what does Scripture say? My people perish for their lack of knowledge.
Well, exactly. But I think, you make a good point. But I really believe if people knew the extent of the loss of rights that we're looking at, the even more than that, the trampling of our constitutional rights by these people, but see, Sam, I think when I look at, because I look, I've got to watch all of the shows, whether it's Fox, MSNBC, and everything in between. I got to watch them just to see what's going on, as well as the hearings and stuff. Oh man, it's a great show on television in terms of the hearings. You got Rand Paul just slamming Fauci left and right. You got all these people slamming each other, but nothing ever happens. No perp walks. No, and certainly no charges under 18 USC 241. So, yeah.
It's amazing. They go after Roger Stone.
Yeah.
They go after Donald Trump. They raid his house. They take phones from congressmen, confiscate their phones without probable cause of a crime. This type of thing goes on and on. If you support the Constitution, the American way, American nationalism, any of those concepts, natural rights, any of these things, you will be attacked aggressively by this Leviathan machine.
But rest assured, they're going to indict Donald Trump too. New York will on a Manhattan DA is going to indict Donald Trump. Folks, mark my words, he's going to be indicted by the Manhattan DA over Stormy Daniels. But people forget about John Edwards back in 2011. Oh, but I digress. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it's the same story over and over again. Rules for thee, but not for me. And this is the big lie has been that there's racism in this country, when what we're really fighting is classism and elitism. We have a protected class that the rules don't apply to, and we have an unprotected class. And if you're on the side of the rule of law, the Constitution, the founding fathers, our country's basic foundational principles, if you're on the side of any of those things, you are going to be attacked by the people taking over. And make no mistake, this is a takeover.
It is.
Did you see the law that Christine Noem vetoed the other day?
Yes.
The banking law that was sort of passed off as some light modifications to banking regulations, when in fact it was a complete monetary takeover in the state of South Dakota.
Thank you for bringing that up, because a lot of people don't understand. They're saying, oh no, but 20 states too have the similar legislation pending as well. So go ahead.
You know, we saw some bank failures. You know, we saw SVB go down on Friday. We saw a couple more banks go down on Sunday. It's not popularly known. The FDIC is privately gone into seven different banks to sort of avert a failure.
Yeah.
And they've taken control. And when people don't understand how marginal and how I want to say vulnerable our banking system is. And I have a very dear friend who's the vice president of one of the largest banks in the United States. And he and I have had long discussions about this. And it's a fascinating thing to understand that a bank takes in deposits. By law, they're allowed to loan out 90% of that deposit amount. And there are regulations on what they have to hold and what they call tier one assets and tier two assets, tier one being the more liquid assets.
Right.
The reason that SVB failed, there's two main reasons why SVB failed. I haven't heard anybody on the news be honest and talk about this. And the reason SVB failed, there's two reasons. The first is they bought long on treasury bonds.
Correct.
15 years. Okay. And their banking customer base was over 90% large tech companies that were not FDIC insured. So when withdrawals increased to a certain amount and they had to sell treasury bonds that were long, they took a huge loss. And the rules say you that loss has to hit the books today.
Correct.
And so the combination of the demographics and the very poor management of buying so long on the bonds, the reason they bought long is because you can make more money if you buy long. But if you buy long and you can't cover your short-term withdrawal obligations, now you've got a big problem. Where the more conservative banks will buy treasury bonds not near as long, 3 years, some of them 5 years. So if they do have to sell a treasury bond, they are in a much better position to take less loss. And a lot of banks have a different demographic. They have a lot of small businesses. They have a lot of retail customers. So maybe 90 to 95% of their deposits are FDIC insured.
Correct.
Where SVB was not. So if you understand the banking industry, you understand finance. And here, my point is, the most conservative bank in the United States has a 95% retail small business customer base, has bought 3-year bonds, is in as strong a cash position as any bank in the country, would be the last bank to fail. But you have to understand, 10%.
But if
enough people go to withdraw their deposits to exceed 10-12%,
oh yeah,
the most conservative bank in the country fails.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, how vulnerable does that make us to fear, panic, any type of self-protection, human nature? I mean, if you hear that the banks are failing, what are you going to do? You're going to go get your money out if you can. And that's the fear and panic that we are so vulnerable to in this country.
Well, really, we have not had a legitimate banking system since the implementation of the Fed. So,
yes.
Having said that, this reminds me a lot of 08, because in addition to the Tier 1 assets that you mentioned, also mortgage-backed securities play a part in this. Okay, so there's that issue in addition to the long treasury bonds. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff taking place.
Well, and then inflation and the Fed deliberately raising interest rates at an unprecedented speed.
Oh, yeah.
And see, when you raise interest rates and you cause huge inflation, you put a burden on the average person who's trying to save money in a bank account. And what are they going to do? They're going to go and withdraw more money to cover the inflated price of everything. And so this whole thing has been induced. It's sad, but this is what's going on. And the American people are relatively ignorant of the banking process, and they don't understand how vulnerable we are and how vulnerable this country is as a whole, and they're not prepared to deal with the ramifications of what's coming.
Okay. Now, with all of that, isn't this sort of a left-handed push toward this central bank digital currency where it could be better controlled, digits on a computer screen, as opposed to actual money in a bank?
Well, if you research FedNow,
yep.
Dr. Weiss,
yep.
And you understand the FedNow program and you understand what the clearinghouse does in the banking system, it's a pretty simple thing to see that this is a coordinated attack.
Are you talking about the Fed window or are you talking about the... No, you're talking... Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
So the clearinghouse is like when you write a check, it goes through the clearinghouse, and the clearinghouse makes sure that the money goes to the right spot.
Right.
And all banks use the Fed clearinghouse. But here's what's happening. There's a new program being implemented called the FedNow program. And what they're doing is they're centralizing and changing the process of the clearinghouse so that computer algorithms can be used to analyze your personal transactions. And they will be able to shut you down and control what you can spend money on. And this is happening right now. It's literally weeks away from being implemented. Over 100 banks have already signed up for this, and including all the large banks. And so what you're seeing, like in South Dakota, with Republicans backing legislation for an environmental social governance takeover of the currency and outlawing all competing currencies and going to total digital currency, digital control, this is all a coordinated move to take over, to take control. And thank God Christine Noem said no and brought some attention to this.
Yeah, I think that surprised a lot of people, especially a lot of conservatives saying, wait a minute, what are you doing? And then when they look into it, it was like a 111-page bill or 110-page bill.
Yes.
But it redefined everything. And you're exactly right. People need to really understand what is going on, because this is theft right before our very eyes. Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. I'm going to tell you something. This guy knows what he's talking about. You can tell. And I appreciate his time. Let's continue, because this is so, and all of this is related, I believe, because was a stolen election have consequences? And here we are. Shades of 08, shall we say, or even 29, perhaps, 1929 or 2008. But at the very least, the pain will be felt system-wide. So all of this was choreographed, I believe, right from the very beginning. And by the beginning, I'm talking about when Trump descended the escalator, war was declared on him because he was an outsider. Now, look, whether you like him or not, okay, whether or not he at some point reversed course during his 4 years, look, I don't know. But I do know that he was not part of the larger plan. Say what you will about the guy, it doesn't matter. He didn't fit in the plan that was already laid out. So, again, continue. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate all of this information. I think this is one of the more informative aspects of the Hagmann Report, and I appreciate you. So, continue, please.
Well, you and I have long discussed the fact that Republicans are great at playing Chicken Little, identifying problems. The sky is falling. And more importantly, I think we need to focus on what do we do to mitigate the damage that these Chinese communist sympathizers that are bought and paid for by the Chinese Communist Party, BlackRock, Vanguard, all of this group coordinated with the Chinese have one main goal, and that is to weaken the U.S. militarily, economically, across the board.
Yes.
And all of these problems point towards destroying the logistical capability and the great economic engine of the United States entrepreneur. It is the United States entrepreneur that designs the weapons that our military uses to keep us safe. It is the entrepreneur that produces the capital to fund our military. And it's the small business people and the wealthy businessmen of America that pay 95% of the taxes. And so understanding who their enemy is, it's basically the people that support the logistical capability of the United States of America. And that's why you see this coordinated attack on so many fronts, the monetary system, you know, all of this stuff, the military. And unfortunately, most people won't do a deep dive to understand what's going on. And even more significantly, try to come up with solutions on how to protect yourself, your family, your community, your state. And
that's what you do best.
Yeah, I'm a solutions guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a guy that is willing to do the homework, do the research, figure out systemically where the problems lie, and then come up with actionable steps to make the problem go away or to insulate you from the problem if possible. And I think I do that quite well. I mean, I worked as a strategic planner for DOD through private contracts. I have a broad range of experience working overseas and working with Intel and working with some SEAL team guys on various things. And so that's given me a lot of different peaks into different areas of our system. The corruption is overwhelming. That's the first thing you have to understand. The corruption in our bureaucracy is overwhelming. And when I was in D.C. right after 9/11, working for a branch of the government, I was researching fraud. That was one of my three assignments, was to uncover fraud in a particular organization of the Department of Defense. And the first day I was there, I uncovered $750,000 worth of fraud being purported by Booz Allen Hamilton, getting paid for computer resources and software that was never delivered. And they were funneling that money up to the Democratic National Committee. And when I uncovered this, I was so angry. I was like, how dare they steal from the taxpayers? And by standards, $750,000 a year is, you know, a drop in the bucket compared to what's actually stolen. But in this small department, it was a significant part of the budget. So I went back to the hotel room I was staying in that night, and I was just angry that these people would steal, these dirty Democrats would steal from the American taxpayers and get away with it for 10 years. I come back to the office the next day and start working on the second largest line item in the budget. Come to find out that the ad council is getting paid $600,000 a year to run commercials on primetime network television supporting Guard and Reserve Service. So are they running the commercials? I checked it out. They weren't running commercials on primetime television. They were the gal who was Laura Bush's best friend, a Republican, was going to these cable TV operators and playing commercials at 3 a.m. And she was telling them that it was their patriotic duty to run these commercials for free. And then she was pocketing some of the money and funneling the rest up to the Republican National Committee.
Beautiful.
And this is how both parties steal. This is why Mitch McConnell is still the head Republican in the Senate. Yep. This is why we had the dirty Republican House speakers. This is why nothing got fixed when we had the White House, the House, and the Senate. Both parties are corrupt beyond all measure. And once you realize this, it changes the way you approach problems. Get rid of the tribalism. Put your clear glasses on, see sharply what is going on, and understand that both parties are corrupt and they're both thieves by any measure.
Boy, you nailed that. I do want to talk more about solutions, and I do want to revisit briefly the January 6th issue, especially 18, because you mentioned 18 U.S.C. 241. I want to also throw in 242 in there as well, and some things related to that. Do you have time to do another 30 with me in overdrive?
Well, sure.
All right, folks. Whatever you need. All right, folks. Here coming up in a few moments, those people who are listening on Global Star and other audio platforms, please go to Hagmann PI. And even if you're not, go to Hagmann PI and watch this on either Rumble or Brighteon. And while you're there, click a like button, the thumbs up, whatever it might be, and subscribe. Because the more subscribers we have, the more people as smart as that man we can bring on. Because you don't want to hear me drone on and on and on. So momentarily, let me just check the program clock. It'll be a couple of minutes. Okay, we're going to jump right now. You're listening to the Hagmann Report. I want to thank all of our Global Star satellite radio listeners. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Spreaker, as well, and all of the audio platforms. And again, for the overdrive portion entering right now, go to HagmannPI.com and click on today's program and watch it in its entirety. Sam Andrews of Freedom Center USA talking about solutions. But for the remainder of the 30, I'm going to give you pretty much the remainder here. I just want to revisit two things you said. The first thing you said about BlackRock and Vanguard, the banking failures and such. Again, that's the money end of things the financial end of things. It's important, I believe, for people to understand what is being pushed upon us right now is the UN Sustainable Goals, which is they're pushing something called ESG. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with that. Economic, social, and government. That's what ESG stands for. And that's a sort of like a forced behavior. And by the way, the purveyors, the overseers, the handlers of the ESG programs would be BlackRock, Vanguard, and also State Street. And again, for the overdrive portion, entering right now, go to HagmanPI.com and click on the today's program and watch it in its entirety.